My name is Bo Safak and I'm the manager of the CRC Working Group on 2Degrees, which is the online sustainability collaboration platform. Today I'll be interviewing two of our members to get their thoughts on the recent changes to the CRC, which was announced by DEC last week. First off, we will hear from an expert CRC law firm on what the actual changes are, and then from a CRC participant to find out how these changes will affect their approach to the implementation of the scheme. I've got on the line Tom Bainbridge, a partner heading up the climate change and energy team at the law firm Navarro LLP. So thanks for joining me today, Tom. Last Wednesday, as part of the comprehensive spending review, DEC announced a press release which had significant impact on the CRC scheme. So could you please outline what was announced and if there are any further official information which has been released at this point?
Yeah, okay. I mean, there were three real sort of key changes that were announced, or three key announcements there. Firstly was the fact that revenue recycling, that element of the CRC, would be dropped. Secondly was the fact that the first sale of CRC allowances would be set back to 2012, so set back by a year. And I suppose part and parcel of this is actually kind of a confirmation that further simplification is coming.
Okay, thank you for that. So could you briefly just outline sort of how the revenue recycling worked previously, how it was previously implemented, sort of for our listeners to understand what has actually changed in the scheme?
Yeah, okay. Well, first off, I should say that revenue recycling was always something of a mixed blessing. On the one hand, the idea of paying back the money that the government received from selling carbon allowances, it was widely seen as a good thing, something that should allow us not to be seen to be another tax. But on the other hand, the mechanism that had been chosen was far too complicated, and it cut across other key elements of the scheme, and the key element there I have in mind is carbon trading. A key principle of carbon trading is that it doesn't matter who reduces emissions. Trading, the trading part of the scheme, should actually allow those who can reduce emissions at the lowest cost to step forward. But revenue recycling stood in the way of that. Okay, so I'll just describe briefly then how revenue recycling mechanism worked. And as I say, you'll have to bear with me because it was complex. So each participant would report their total CRC emissions in the footprint year. For phase one, that was going to be the year 1st of April 2011, 2010 to 31st of March 2012. Now, the percentage of the total emissions that within the scheme that were attributable to a particular participant would set their basic share of the recycling pot. So if you were a participant and you were responsible for, say, 1,000th of scheme emissions in the footprint year, you'd be entitled to 1,000th share of the recycling pot. Now, in each compliance year, the recycling pot itself would be worth whatever the government raised from selling allowances. That share would then be adjusted up or down by a small percentage, which was adjustment by reference to league table performance. So it's important to recognise, and many people seem to miss this, that there's actually no need to buy any carbon in the CRC at any point to be entitled to receive a recycling payment. Actual energy efficiency could have had virtually no impact on recycling payment entitlement. So because of the complexity and lack of a correlation between energy efficiency and recycling payments, there would have been no clear investment signal delivered by the CRC. So to that extent, getting rid of revenue recycling is a good thing. But I do appreciate that it will now feel much more like a tax in the hands of many.
Yeah. And the question, I suppose, is as well, is how do you think these changes will affect the participants of the scheme overall?
Well, okay, first of all, dropping revenue recycling, it does mean a number of things. Obviously, for government, this is about a new way of raising revenue without actually calling it a tax. Now, they have said that monies will be taken into support public funding. In other words, it goes into the general taxation pot, and it will be spent on measures supporting the environment. But there's no detail of that, so we can't have any confirmation of quite what that will mean or how much of it will come back towards environmental measures. From a participant's perspective, somebody who has a CRC liability that they can't pass on to anyone else, they will definitely be worse off financially. So from their perspective, the only consolation is that energy efficiency will now deliver a greater and more predictable saving than it would have done under the old formulation of the scheme. However, for participants who've been deemed responsible under the CRC for someone else's energy consumption, and here we're talking about landlords in particular, but not exclusively, this is a very good outcome. CRC costs will now be directly proportional to energy consumed by their tenants, and much more likely to be recoverable under existing lease wording, and certainly more easily drafted into new lease wording. The second aspect of change in the scheme was the setting back of allowance sales to 2012. This is quite interesting, and we do need to understand if this approach will be carried forward into each subsequent year. If it is, then CRC will effectively no longer be a carbon trading scheme at all. And I say that because at the time that participants will be able to buy carbon allowances, they'll know how much carbon they need to buy. So in phase one, they'll have no need to resort to secondary markets at any point. And in phase two, it's difficult to see how any different approach would be adopted. I've set out some of the thoughts around this on one of the CRC discussion forums within 2Degrees. Thirdly, then, this point about further changes. The government has made clear that this is all part of a broader simplification of the scheme. There are many issues that our clients have needed our help with the CRC because of the complexity of the scheme. And there are many issues which we, and I fully appreciate many others, have raised with the Department of Energy and Climate Change and with the Environment Agency that do need to be addressed. So dropping revenue recycling is a seismic shift in the scheme design. To my mind, so too is delay the sale of allowances. But if I can continue this analogy, I think it's pretty clear that there are more tremors coming along.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. You have some interesting times ahead. Just like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today and for a very informative chat.
Thanks very much.
Now, we've heard what the changes to the scheme are, so we'll look at how they will impact organisations that are actually involved in the CRC.
So I've got with me Roger Horse, who's the head of energy and environmental management for the global security solutions firm G4S. So thanks for taking the time to chat to me today, Roger.
That's fine, both.
So before we move on to talk about how these changes to the CRC is affecting your company, could you just very briefly go over what G4S has been doing to prepare for the CRC scheme up until now?
Yes, certainly. I was actually recruited by G4S in 2009. I think I started in September 2009. And up to that point, G4S were aware of the CRC but weren't really in a particularly strong position to address it. And my first task was actually to do what any good energy manager does, and that is develop an inventory of all our sites and to start collecting energy consumption data across our UK and Ireland properties. And we've got about 313 properties across the UK and Ireland, of which about 120 will be covered by the CRC. And in fact, what was quite interesting was just trying to get to the bottom of the supply rules with regard to CRC. This obviously was particularly complicated, and so much so that we have a number of PFI contracts which were only recently had guidance from the Environment Agency in terms of whether they were within the scheme or not. And so I suppose in summary, I've been doing a lot of collection of data in terms of establishing where we are with the CRC. But alongside that, I've been doing a number of presentations to what effectively are our boards. And within G4S, we have 8 business units. So I've been presenting to those boards and preparing them for the CRC, making them aware that the scheme would start in April, the fact that we had to do the registration by September, and the fact that there was going to be some interesting cost penalties or potential cost penalties, and also some benefits if we were to, in the first year, improve our position within the CRC league table. And we were particularly fortunate within G4S that we we have a business that was called AccuRead and is now called Utility Services, who are transforming their business to provide AMR. And so we were using, so one of the threads of our activity was to use utility services to provide AMR to all our sites. So hopefully that's given you a rough feel for it. Essentially, it's a whole load of work establishing our CRC position and advising boards.
Yeah, and I mean, presumably the data collection and getting a hang of the data from those 313 properties will stay the same.
Yes, it will. I mean, as part of the work I've been doing, I was able to recruit a utilities data manager who is in charge of collecting that data and managing it. And I also have a an energy and environmental manager who's involved in taking that data and producing reports. So that is still work that has to happen and will not be wasted in terms of the way the CRC scheme has been modified. But what I believe is going to happen is there's going to be a change in emphasis at board level in terms of their engagement. I did a presentation, just to go back, you know, you have G4S have a UK and Ireland main board, and then we have sub-boards below that. And I was presenting to the main board a few months ago, and we had somebody at that board level saying, well, why should I worry about the CRC? Why should I be concerned? And what do you think of it? And I said, I think it's a brilliant tool, because if it wasn't for the CRC, I wouldn't be presenting to you board members and getting your engagement about the investments you need to be making in carbon reduction projects. So I believe that with the change in what looks to me to be a change from an innovative scheme to a CRC tax, the business members, the MDs of all these business units, will really consider it as just another increase in utility cost. And we've recently seen increases in utility costs of, say, 20% in gas. I've had, since I announced that increase, I've had no members of any board coming to me saying, look, Roger, we really need to start accelerating our investment in projects. And my concern is that with what I effectively believe is going to be like an 8% tax next year, we're going to have exactly the same approach. And so one of my drivers is to seek ways to use the fact that we're going to have to accrue increase in utility costs over the coming year as a means by which we can try and focus these boards in terms of implementing projects to reduce CRC carbon.
Right. And so the league table in its new form, which is mainly a reputational driver, you don't think that's going to be an important driver for your board or for your company?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I mean, when I can say, look, our position in the league table is very important because it dictates the amount of recycling funds we have, and do you know that in year five it's going to be half of the pot will be recycled as a penalty and half as a bonus? That had a real means by a real engagement for board members, even though in reality the actual cost to us may be relatively low. It was this uncertainty, the uncertainty of the league table's position, the uncertainty of the actual cost of allowances in the auction phase, all helped get their engagement. So I see the league table as being another part of our corporate social responsibility indexes that we will monitor and we report on an annual basis, the same way they do as our corporate responsibility index, but I don't believe it will have a strong, it will provide any strong encouragement for us to invest in carbon reduction projects.
Okay, well, brilliant. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me today, Roger, and I hope all goes well with your CRC preparations in the future.
Okay, thank you, Buzz.
So there you have some thoughts on what lies ahead for the CRC. Just to let you know that on Tuesday the 9th of November, 2 Degrees will also host an hour-long online webinar session presented by British Gas Business, which will be discussing these changes in more detail. So if you'd like to keep up to date with any new developments and discuss what these changes mean with 2,000 other sustainability professionals working on the CRC, I'd be delighted if you would join us on the 2 Degrees platform. The web address is www.2degreesnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.